Ready? When we left off, we introduced the concept of Tatagar. So let's read it inside the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Basar v'chalav rotvin shenis arvu yachad. You mix hot meat and hot milk. Bafilu basar tonum tocholav. That's not the big thing. Basar tonum tocholav roteach. If cold meat falls into hot milk, ocholav tonum tocholav basar roteach, or cold milk into hot meat. Hakol aser, why we should tatar gavar? Because the bottom is hot, tatar gavar, so it's all considered hot, and it all becomes aser. Aval cholav roteach shenachol al basar tzonein. What if you have hot and to cold? Oh, basar roteach shenachol to cholav tzonein, either hot milk unto cold meat, or hot milk, hot meat unto cold milk. Then, we already mentioned this, concept of ademekarle bala, that really it's tatar gavar, it's all considered cold and it's not baleya. But while it cools off, it has a little bit of a bliya. We'll have to see how serious I'll take that bliya in a few moments. Kolef avasar v'shar basar mutter. So it's asur k'dei klipa. So you have to peel off the layer of the meat. What does k'dei klipa mean? K'dei klipa means the thinnest layer you can peel off. Whatever the thinnest layer you can peel off, that's how much is asur. And the rest of the meat is mutter. Continuing in the mechaber, and then we'll go back to the parentheses. V'acholav mutter kulo, and the milk is all mutter. Okay, that last line is pretty obvious. If they fall into a cold, that's already sifim aleph to gimel. Then just in zadacha. The chiddush here is the hot into cold is asur k'dei klipa. The meat is asur k'dei klipa. What are the milk? So the milk is a machlokes in the Balei Tosfos between the Ri and the Riva, and the Rishi also already points out that the Rambam is very explicit. Like the Ri, what do we do with the milk? There are two possibilities. You could say that the milk is, I mean, the problem being the milk doesn't have a klipa, right? Hot meat fell into cold milk, or vice versa, right? So the meat has a clear klipa. The milk doesn't have a klipa, so the Ri and the Rambam say, since there's no klipa, it's all mutter. But the Riva says, no, the Riva says, even though it doesn't have a klipa, it's still usher k'dei klipa. How do we usher k'dei klipa? We imagine what a klipa of the milk would be. Min hastam, a klipa of the milk should be the same as a klipa of the meat. If we assume the milk touches the meat, so however much klipa there is in the meat, that's how much of the milk touches the meat. So, you... A virtual k'dei klipa of the milk is asur according to the Riva, a virtual k'dei klipa of the milk is asur, and then you measure if the whole milk is 60 times the k'dei klipa, then the klipa is batal b'shishim and is mutter. But if the whole milk is only 59 times the k'dei klipa, then the k'dei klipa asurs the whole milk. So that's the first machlokes we start with about the chalav. Right, so here we have the Riva. Says the Cholav is Nesar K'dei Klipa. Of course, not like the meat being Nesar K'dei Klipa. The meat Nesar K'dei Klipa means you throw out the Klipa and eat the rest. Cholav, you can't find the Klipa. So therefore, what that means is equals Kulo Aser M Ein Shishim K'neged HaK'dei Klipa. While the Ri in Tosos there. And the Rambam say that it's mutter. There's no problem. You don't need k'dei klipa on the chal. Now, the question is, yes?
Isn't the lashon of the mechaber, the first couple of words, problematic and redundant? He starts by saying, v'asa v'chal v'otchim shenis arvu yachad. It wasn't shenis arvu yachad. The self was that one fell on the other.
That's Nesar V'Yachad.
That's not what usually you mean.
No, no, no.
Isn't that why the Taz points out that Bimuku Kli, I am something else? That's
not well, it's
point.
Not.
That's
it's
not
very
the point that he's trying to say.
It's very unclear exactly what the what the proper girsa and what the kavana of the taz is. Some people, such as the Prima Gadim, says that it should say bitzli, imhu bitzli. But let's assume we keep the girsa of.
The question is what the Mechaber said. They fell together in a kli, and he's still saying what he's saying. Because nizar will mean lechor if this nizar and a kli, so they both had a hashpah on each other. They're not one on top of the other. Nizar who is nizar who?
Nisarvu just means the milk fell into the meat. That's good enough to be nisarvu to me. That doesn't bother me. I think what he's trying to bring Rami's to here is that the question is, if it's in a cliche, so maybe it would have a different din. And then you should look later, and we're going to wait till we get later to deal with that, although it's a little unclear that the Prima Gadim here deals with exactly what the right girsa is. But Pashtus, the right girsa, like we have in the Taz, if you read the Prima Gadim, you'll see why. And then he's just saying that, well, if it's in a cliche, then the halacha might be a little different. But I don't know. Anyway, back to our question of the Cholov. The Ramah, the question is why the Ri and the Ramah are matter the Cholov. So the Ramah here has a big chiddush. You could have said they're matter the Cholov. You could have said they're matter the Cholov because since the Cholov never had a klipa in the first place, like this din doesn't apply. But the Ramah seems to go further. What does the Ramah say? Going back to the parentheses of the Ramah, Ubamakam shabasar tzar klipa. The meat needed a klipa. In local food bishlukach, if you didn't peel the meat and you cooked it that way, mutter b'di'evid. It's mutter b'di'evid. How does the Ramah understand the Ri and the Rambam? The Ramah understands the Ri and the Rambam. That what's the reason behind them? Din klipa. Rak lechatchila. Avol b'di'eved mutter.
Why?
The Ramah says, after all, why would the Ri and the Rambam, meaning, if you ask me where did the Ri and the Rambam come from, so if you look, I think there's a big Rav Akiva Eiger about this, it's based on a diuk in the Gemara, which we won't go back to now. The Ri and the Rambam assume that the Cholov is all mutter. So the Ramah asks himself, why is the Cholov all mutter? After all, can the klipa of the Cholov should be usher? And the answer, it must be that this whole klipa is not a real bliya. Adermegle varlok de klipa is not a really current din. That's not a d'oraisa. We don't really think that it was boleya in a case of hot into cold adermegle varlok. There's no halakhically significant bliya there. It's just a chumer drabanan to be choshesh for maybe, you know, there might be some slight insignificant bliya, but we'll be choshesh anyway, so it's only a chumer d'rabbanan, and d'rabbanan are only machmir l'chatchila. That is the chiddush of what it sounds like from the Ramah. Here the Ramah understood the reason they were machmir the milk is because klipa is only, if you can peel it. But it never meant to make anything treif. Just if you could peel it throughout the peel. But the chazal never goes over the evet to make the whole food treif. Therefore, just like the milk, since you can't peel it, Chazal didn't want it to all be treif and said it's mutter. Likewise, if a hot meatball falls into cold milk, right, so it's also de klipa, and you forget to take out a klipa and you cook it. So don't say you need shishim kenei the klipa. No, just lechachila take off the klipa. But b'dyevet, it'll never answer anything because this is not a real bliya, it's only a drabanan. It's only a chash drabanan, and they're only choshes lechachila. Klipa can never aser anything b'dievet. Klipa is only a din lechachila. That's the chiddush of the Ramah here, based on the Ri and the Rambam. Yeah.
According to the Taz.
What?
Shach doesn't know the Rambam.
The Shach makes it more complicated. Right. Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay. Then the Shach and the Taz, and everyone asks a stira. Here's the problem of the stira. What's the stira? The stira is the klipa only mean the chachila peel off a layer because it's very small and you haven't lost anything, but b'dievet, it's not a real bliya, it's not a real din. And therefore, never ask the food b'dievet, or can even ask the food b'dievet. So here we have the Ramah here says, k'de klipa can never cause an iser b'di'evet. Meaning, if you cook something and that klipa is more than a 60th, it still won't be iser b'di'evet. It's only a l'chatchila. Not a problem b'di'evet. However, they point out in many places in Shulchan Aruch that the Ramah agrees with, we assume that, no. That k'day klipa is aser even b'di'evet and will make the whole food treif if it is more than a 60th. That's what we see in many other places in Shulchan Aruch. See in many others, no, k'day klipa's treif, it's treif, that k'day klipa, it might be relatively small, but it's just as treif as a pig. And if you then cook that k'day klipa in a concoction, and that k'day klipa is more than a 60th, it'll treif up your whole concoction. Right? That's totally treif me'ikra din. Where are some of the places they quote this? So the Shach already, sorry, quotes here from the Yerach Shenimlach Bagid Hanoshev in Isbashel. What's that case? If you salted the side of beef, the thigh, with the Gidanasha. Salting makes a bliyak de klipa. So the Gidanasha trafes up the klipa next to it. If then you cook it, now you need 60 times not only the Gidanasha, without getting into the taste of the Gidanasha, you not only need 60 times the Gidanasha, you need 60 times the klipa next to it also. Right? The klipa next to the Gidanasha will trafe up your whole pot. So what are the examples? What are these cases? Some of the cases which they mention are the klipa that was salted touching the Gid Hanasha. Right? That's one example. Right? You salt the meat, you forget to take out the Gid Hanasha. The Gid Hanasha asers the klipa next to it. So what are you supposed to do? Cut the meat, throw out the Gid Hanasha, which you would have thrown it anyway, throw out the klipa next to it. If you forget and you cook it in a cholent, now this will asur your cholent unless you have 60 keneged the klipa next to the Gid Hanasha. That's a good example. What's another example that the Shach quotes? He quotes another one. The ocean is bashel b'lochatichas havridin. Right? It's a similar case. It's basically a similar idea. You're supposed to cut open the big veins of a chicken before you roast it whole to get out the blood. If you didn't, then it trafes up the k'day klipa. If you salt it, stop, it trafes up the k'day klipa next to it. So if then you cook it, you need 60 next to that k'day klipa. So it's the same idea. Klipa, salted, touching the veins. Okay, that's very similar to the case of the Gid Hanasha. What's his other example? Sakin shel goy. Right? If you shech with a treif knife, we paskin that. We'll see. The duch of the sakina, the power of the knife, and the heat of the beis hashchita, of the neck of the animal, which is a certain level of heat, caused the treif knife, the treif and shmalz and the knife, to go in and asher k'day klipa of the neck. And we say, if you cook it, you need 60 yeg of that k'day klipa. So here we have the klipa of the neck, which touched the treif shchita knife. So if you shech the treif knife, we say it means a dirty treif knife, which actually has like chazer schmaltz on it, has lard on it, or it has, you know, nevela schmaltz on it, then it'll aser k'day klipa the neck, and even b'di'evet, if you cook that k'day klipa, you need 60 times as much as that k'day klipa, or else it'll treif up your whole food. One of the other examples he has here an example of the kli. Where is that? Kli sheneser b'mlicha, k'day klipa tzar charkach, shishim. Here we also have the klipa of a kli, which became treif through malicha, right? This could be either you salted treif food on a kli, it asered the outer klipa of the kli, or even you salt kosher food on the kli, but you forget to drain the blood properly, so it'll aser k'dei kli b'dei kli. All these things we see will aser even b'dieved, unless they're batel b'shishim. And then Taz also brings some very similar examples. Okay, basically all over Shulchan Aruch it's clear that there are cases, and many of these you can prove, even the Ramah agrees, where a k'dei klipa is really treif. It's not a joke. A k'dei klipa actually is treif. If you then cook it in your cholent, it will treif up your cholent unless it's batel b'shishim. So why does the Ramah here conclude that no, a klipa is totally kosher? Just l'chachila they told you to peel it off, but it's really kosher. It's just like stam achumra, a nice thing to do l'chachila to stay far away from Yisurim. So that's all akash on the Ramah.
It must be different by the give. This is, presumably, we'd say the Tate Gaver case that really.
Okay, excellent. You're saying the Magen Avraham. Okay, hold that thought. What does the Shach say? The Shach says something interesting. What does the Shach say that's interesting? It's interesting because the Svar is not Pashut. And also, not only is the Svar not Pashut, but it's not Pashut to say that's what the Ramah meant. But first, let's do something trivial. What did the Taz say? What does the Taz say? He doesn't actually answer this, dear. What does the Taz say? Nothing. What does the Taz say? Anyone? He doesn't answer. He just says, we see from here that the Ramah is wrong. Right? He says, okay, so we're passing against the Ramah. He quotes the Marshal who he has on his side. So the Taz says that this is right. And this is wrong. Okay, we see from here that the Ramah is wrong, that we paskin against the Ramah.
But that's in the context of the Riva. Oh, because he holds good for that Salafokas.
Yes. Now, obviously he's not defending the Ramah. He's just saying, I don't care to defend it, right? He's not technically an answer. He's not defending the Ramah. He's just saying, you know what? The Ramah is indefensible. Right? In his judgment, there are no good defenses for the Ramah. The Ramah is indefensible, so why defend the indefensible? Just call a spade and say the Ramah is wrong. Not only that, he goes so far as to say the Ramah is wrong, and we paskin like the Riva. Not only does he say the Ramah is clearly wrong, but in the end, he even paskins like the Riva, which means that not only is the Ramah wrong, in the end, he ends up paskining that the Mechaber is wrong as well, right? Because the Mechaber passed him like the Reed. So again, he's more sure of himself that the Ramah is wrong, but he thinks the Ramah had a good shot in the Reed and the Rambam. Somehow the Ramah was seeing a good shot in the Reed and the Rambam. The Reed and the Rambam hold Klipa was not a real trait. It was only L'chachila. And the Ramah was saying good shot in the Reed and the Rambam. The Ramah was saying good shot in the Mechaber. The Ramah, Mechaber, Reed, and Rambam. We're all a logical sheet to that klipa is only l'chadchila, and it wasn't real treif. It could have been true, but it so happens that too many rayas the other way that klipa is real treif, so therefore we pass it against the Ramah, against the Mechaber, against the Re, against the Rambam, and we pass it because the klipa is always also for the yevid, in the meat and the milk in every imaginable case. That's the pass. The Shach, however, or all the other echronim, try to defend the Ramah. How does the Shach defend the Ramah? What's his chiluk? Exactly. Now, what does he say? He says that, now, he doesn't say the difference is between whether there is a klipa, a recognizable klipa to become treif, or there isn't. Clearly, the Ramah is mekel even when there is a recognizable klipa. Even when Basar had a klipa and became treif, then you cooked it in the evidence, it's mutter. So he has to make an okimta in the Ramah. What's the okimta he makes in the Ramah? The Ramah's case, he's a diuk for his okimta, is that a klipa of the meat became treif. Then you cooked it, and the meat melted or got pureed or spread out. Exactly. That's the Okimta and Ramah. So this is talking about when you can still see the klipa. Or better, use easier lashon. This is talking about when, if the klipa is still intact. If the klipa is still intact, then he admits that even though it's only a chumer drabana to asher the klipa, if it's still intact, then, just to be consistent, whenever the klipa is still there, the time of that klipa also asher. If klipa is still intact, since they forbade the klipa itself, it can also forbid the whole tavshil. You see the klipa, right? That's all these cases, like the case of a kli, right? A kli became treif, and then you put food in that kli. Obviously, you can still see the klipa, the kli. It didn't go anywhere. Or the gitanusha. The gitanusha asked the klipa around it, and then you cook it. You could still see it. Whenever you could still see the treif klipa, not only is it treif, but the time of that klipa can treif up the whole tavshil. Since it can also forbid the whole tavshil, or let's say a little better, its ta'am can also forbid the whole tavshil. Yes?
Do you have to be able to see just the, in the case of do you just have to be able to see the milk itself or the actual treif part, some remnant of it? Or as long as you can see the klipa, even if you can't see any of the milk, any of the cheese, it's still usur. It still needs.
I'm not sure what you're saying.
Well, in the case of the gitanasha, for example, you have the usur thing that's still there intact, right? So the equivalent in this case would be if you.
He doesn't care that the gitanasha is still intact. He cares the klipa around the gitanasha is still intact. He couldn't care less if the gitanasha was intact.
So even if you can't see the cheese, as long as the outside of the burger is still...
Yes, absolutely. Yes, correct. Here is, if the klipa is no longer intact, such as milk, that's the machaber, or pureed meat. It doesn't have to be pureed. It could just fall apart in different ways. Right, that's akin to the Ramah. It wasn't a piece of meat that's still the end, that still you can look at it and see the piece of meat and say, oh, here's the klipa of the gasser. The meat fell apart. It was pureed, or it was boiled so much that it disintegrated, or whatever you want to say the case is. The meat fell apart. Basically, with the Ramah being makel on the klipa of meat is when it's like milk, when it fell apart. The only difference is the Machaber said, and the Rin the Rambam say, when it never had an identifiable klipa, it's okay. The Ramah says, even if it once had an identifiable klipa, like meat, the klipa that became usur, but then it got pureed or disintegrated or fell apart, and now it's no longer identifiable, now it becomes mutter. Right? If klipa is no longer intact, then, since klipa is not there, the isser doesn't apply. Obviously, the Shach is assuming, Menachem, not that different than we understood Ramah. If the klipa was really treif, this wouldn't make any sense. Once something becomes really treif, who cares if it gets pureed or not? It stays treif. He's assuming, no, klipa is only a din drabanan, which is a little worse than l'chadchila. Well, how is it a little worse than l'chadchila? L'chadchila, you have to peel it off and throw it in the garbage. If it's still there to be peeled off and thrown in the garbage, then the gzeir replies that even the tam of that klipa will asur your food. But if the klipa's not there to peel off and throw in the garbage anymore, then Chazal word goes around it, and it's no problem. That's the Shach's answer. It depends. When you see the klipa, it also asters the food that it's cooked with. If you can't see the klipa, then don't worry about it. That's the Shach. It's a big chiddush, the Shach, but he's inspired by the milk. In the milk, you can't actually see any klipa of the milk. So therefore he says, our mother's making by meat, he also meant only if you don't see any klipa anymore. Once you did, but now you don't. That's the Shach. However, yeah.
Sorry, again, so even if it was, when it asered, there was a klipa.
Yes.
Afterwards,
that's what the Shach says.
Because it was asered at a time when it was no klipa.
No, then it would be no big chiddush. Then the Shach wouldn't be, you wouldn't need the Shach to say that. I could have said that. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that that can't be Shach. Look at the Ramah. Uva mokum shabasar tzart klipa. Sarah klipa means needs peeling. So clearly it once was nicker. In local food, if you didn't peel it when it was nicker, and you cooked it, and the Shach added, and it disintegrated, that's the chiddush of the Shach. Otherwise, the Shach wouldn't be a big chiddush. But then he wouldn't be explaining the Ramah. What does Alex want to say? Ooh, that's, hope no one got hurt there. Thud. What does Alex want to say? Alex wants to say no. The difference is clear. What do you want to tell you? Didn't you want to answer before? Okay, what does the Magen Avraham say? It's quoted in the Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Pesachei Tshuva here. What did the Magen Avraham answer?
Well, the two things are different.
Because?
The Gidin Asha is, it's Daraita, or it's a different kind of,
it's different. One is more Harer Klipa than the other. Right, saying not like the shach. The difference is whether the physical intactness of the klipa. Say how the klipa got ushered in the first place. That's what you want to say. Some klipas get ushered with a real iser, and some klipas only got a lechatchila iser. Meaning, not all klipas are even born equal. Meaning, not everything Chazal say as ushered to a klipa is equal. Sometimes Chazal say something ushered to a klipa means it totally treif me to rice and the ikar din to the klipa. Sometimes they say it's asher k'dei klipa. They mean lechachila for day. You'd be machmers if it's asher k'dei klipa, but it's only a lechachila. Not all k'dei klipas are asher. For example, the k'dei klipa of melicha is a very serious k'dei klipa. A k'dei klipa created by that's asher by melicha is really treif me'ikra din. So he says this is that's the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says this is a k'dei klipa which was forbidden via malicha or other serious forces, and this is aser meikar hadin afilu b'dieved.
But the malicha is more chomer than tatar gavar.
Yes, absolutely. But the klipa of tatar gavar. What do you mean? There's a rule tatar gavar. Tatar gavar means the bottom one wins. If the bottom one is cold, it's cold. Chazal said, Admeikar Leibala K'dei Klipa, that wasn't a serious din. Admeikar Leibala K'dei Klipa isn't real. It doesn't really, it's really Bala K'dei Klipa. It means we're machmer lechatchila, that may be some far out chances Bala K'dei Klipa. But it wasn't really Bala K'dei Klipa. And he says, this is, the Ramah's talking is simply about the K'dei Klipa of Tata Gavar, which is only a chumra bi'alma lechatchila. And therefore, there's no stira. None of the stiras were for another case of tata gavar. That's for sure. It says there are different k'dei klipas. There are serious k'dei klipas and non-serious k'dei klipas. Tata gavar is a non-serious k'dei klipa. If you want to tell me, you don't agree. You think when a hot thing falls on a cold thing, that should seriously ask your k'dei klipa. You can say whatever you want, but that's not what the Magen Avraham says. The Magen Avraham says it's his understanding of science. When a hot thing falls on a cold thing, really there's no bli at all. That whole klipa thing is only lechatchila. As opposed to serious things like melicha or like the beis hashchita, those are more serious and would be usher even b'dieved.
Do we understand that to mean that effectively we're saying there is no real transfer, but...
Correct, there's no real transfer, it's just a chumrah.
The chumrah is existing because maybe we'll come to...
that's a good question. Why do they make a chumrah? It could be the reason they made a chumrah is because, well, if I add one point, it'll become very clear. The Magen Avraham says, hold on a second. Even in the case of hot into cold, he thinks that it's not so pashut. He thinks that even in hot into cold, sometimes it's more serious... Sometimes it's less serious. What are the two ways that something hot could fall into something cold? What are the two ways that I can pour something hot into something cold? Exactly. There's nifsak hakiluach and lo nifsak hakiluach, right? Lo nifsak hakiluach means here's the cold, here's the hot, and it's going straight from the pot. The pot should be sideways. Pretend the pot is sideways. Otherwise, it would be miraculous that it is flowing. It's going straight down. It's still attached to the original Kli Rishon. That's called Lo Nifsak HaKiluach. That's hot. Then there's Nifsak HaKiluach. Nifsak HaKiluach means here's my pot. Here, now I do it right. And I'm dripping. Drip, 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 drip. And it lands on something cold. That's obviously intuitively we all understand why Nifsak HaKiluach. If you want to bring in other factors, you can. I'm sure a physicist would tell you there are many factors involved. But if the physicist isolated this factor, he would clearly tell us if you're dripping, drip, 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 that is going to cool off more easily than if it's an unbroken stream from the original Kli Rishon. And therefore, says the Magen Avraham there, he says even when it comes to Tata Gavar, it depends on the case. There's different kinds of Cham L'toch Tzonin. What does the Magen Avraham add? This, when is it not serious, only Chumra B'Alma, when it's tata gavar of nifsak hakiluach. That's when the klipa is just a chumrul hakila. However, cham letoch tzonein im lo nifsak hakiluach. If it's lo nifsak hakiluach, that's more serious already. Then the klipa is me'ifra din, because that's a serious heat source. We say tata gavar in both of them. But one of them, the tata gavar, since it's working against a hot thing that's really attached to the source of its heat, or at least the source of its being hot, for real, then the other case, when it's just a little drip, that's really ademekele klum. It's just a chumel achachila that we ask klipa. To answer Alex's question, we can just say very easily, you know why Chazal made the chumel achachila in this case? Just so you don't confuse it with that case.
Right, but then the implication being that in the first case, if that was, it wouldn't be also even b'diavad, wouldn't it?
This would be also b'diavad, yeah, that's what I just wrote.
Okay.
Now, when the Magen says, the Ramah was only talking about nifsar kakiluach, that's what the Magen of Ram writes, ayin sham etzin simin taf samach zayin sim katan lama gimel, like the Achronim quote, yeah, taf samach zayin lama gimel, ayin sham, that's the pshara. So basically, they restrict this kul of the Ramah to one particular kind of kedei klipa, the tata gavar kind, and even that only if it's nifsar kakiluach.
Which subject matter did the Magen of Ram say?
He's from our subject matter.
No, where is it brought then? In other words, where was?
Oh, it's in Hilchas Pesach when it talks about hot and cold and tarums of chametz and matzah.
I don't understand the svar of the shah. If the kedei klipa is aster and it was aster already. So just by the fact that you can't see it anymore.
Good, so I'm glad you don't understand the svara of the shach. Now you're ready to hear what I said the svara was. The svara was that really it's always only a chomer b'yalma. However, when the chomer b'yalma is chal, the tam ge'ikr of the chomer b'yalma is also chal. When the chomer b'yalma is paka, so the tam of the chomer b'yalma is also paka. That's what you have to say.
Again, I say
again. Really, the svara of the shach is that it's really only a chomra. It's only a chomer b'yalma garbanan. It's really only a chomra, which is really just like a chachila, you should peel it off and throw it out. However, when there's something you should peel off and throw out, then the gzera also applies to the time of that something, as we're in the soup.
Because you have something to point out.
Yes. When you have something to point out, the gzera is chal, and then the time of it also asers. When there's nothing to point out, the gzera is paka, the gzera isn't chal, and if the gzera isn't chal, then the time of that thing is also not aser. That's what you have to say for the shach. That, you know, it's all just a chomer b'alma. Okay, the Rabbi Akiva Eger suggests here, he says maybe there's one or two questions wouldn't answer, but Rabbi Akiva Eger suggests here someplace in, 1 second, if I find the right lines, I can read it to you. Someplace here. Here we are. Ephshalomer didavka be'isur basa b'chalav says Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger says Ephshalomer. He's not sure. Ephshalomer, you could say that this is only in basa b'chalav, and this is in a taroves iser v'hetter. When it comes to a mixture of Isser and Heter, we're Machmir. That's all these cases were mixtures of Isser and Heter. And the Ramah's Kulu is only in Basar B'Cholav, which is why the Ramah be Mekel Dak in Basar B'Cholav, and not in mixtures of pork and beef or treif and kosher. So what? Because this Ademekeloi Balak de Klipa, why would you be more Mekel in Basar B'Cholav than in Tarovis of pork and beef? Because it's not. It's not their official asarachmana. Hot falling into cold is never basmachal daraisa. Because basuchel d'oraisa, you need a real bishul. A real bishul means it's all hot. So therefore, you're starting with a kind of basuchel that's it's like malicha and like tzli. Remember, it wouldn't be aser b'handan. It wouldn't be us. You know, in basuchel, we're already starting with one step lakula because in the first place, this kind of mixture could never be d'oraisa. This mixture that asers k'dei klipa can never be d'oraisa. Basuchel is only d'oraisa if you cook it mamish. If you cook it mamish, it's all treif. So therefore, since this is a kind of basmachol that starts out as something that's only drabban in the first place, it's not real bishul. It's just like a little mixing, but it's not real bishul. Therefore, because it's not derech bishul, so it can't be deoraisa, meaning it can't be usher. Can't be usher deoraisa. Therefore, when we're making by basmachol, then by Shar Isurin. That's what Rikuv Eger suggests. Now, if you look at the Pesachei Tshuva here, he quotes, what do we do with this bottom line? I don't know that it comes up every day, but the Pesachei Tshuva of gotten hey, quotes a Tshuvas Chein, who Sheherech Vazev Helo Ladina, Kal Hechlo Nefse, Kakilos to Asubidina, Ein Lohakel, Bino Shishu Negra Klipa. What does he say? Starts with the Magen Avram. He says, look, The shach really, no one really liked the shach in the end. The svara was not so compelling. Menachem would agree. So he said, you know what? If it's a real serious kind of bliyah, like lonev sakakiluach or malicha or something like that, you can't be make like the Ramah. You can only make like the Ramah on tata gover b'dinif sakakiluach. Okay, that's a nice pshara. He basically likes 3 and 4 here, right? He liked the Magen Avraham and the Kiva Eger. Those are reasonable chibukim. So he says, really, we should only be mekel in a case of nifsak hakiluach. Because that is shouldn't really make a bli, it's just a chumrah. And even then, he's only comfortable in basar b'chalav. So he has both Rabbi Kiva Eger's first shot and the Magen Avraham on his side. Or in other Isurim, he's comfortable relying on the Magen Avraham and Vakam Hefsa Garuba. So, Mike said that's a good shara. That really, the Iker answer is Magen Avraham. You should only be making in the case of Nifsa Kakiluach, because that's not a real Bliya, as opposed to real Bliyas, Kedei Klipa. And even then, it's easier to be Mako in Basar B'Cholav and other things, maybe only if you really need to. So that's how to defend this Ramah. And yeah, none of the Echronim really like the Shach so much. Okay. Going on to Se'if Hei. Se'if Hei tells us, there's a whole, the Gemara says, two things the Gemara tells us. Kavush, anyone want to finish my, hopefully this will become a pitgam for us. Kavush, good. Kimevushal, Maliach, Kiroteach. Okay, the pshat in this, I'm not saying there aren't complicated. There are Rambams that make it a little more complicated. There are. There's even Rambam that makes it a little more complicated. But we'll start with the normal understanding for now, is that what kavush means soaked or pickled, right, is like cooking. Maliach, salting, is like roteach, is like broiling, like broiling hot. Why do they say kavush is like mavusho, and maliach is like roteach, as opposed to the other way around? What's the difference? Exactly. Kavush is a liquid medium. Like mavushal means cooking in a liquid. Like a cholent or a stew or a soup. Maliach, malicha is not soaking in a liquid. Is like roteach, is like broiling, which is not soaking in a liquid. Of course, both maliach and roteach cause the juice to flow out, right? When you broil something, the juice falls out. When you salt something, the blood falls out. But it's not soaking in liquid. Now, so that's why it's similar. What's the halachic difference? Why not just say they're all the same? What's the halachic difference between them? Anyone?
Something is
maliach
and it's touching something else, so it's
maliach. Exactly. Kavush kumavushal means that the it's nivla, the tam is nivla in everything. Or nivla in the right, when you cook something, when you soak something, since it's soaking in liquid, the taste permeates everywhere. Naturally, it even permeates everywhere equally. So let's say you have, when you cook, you have a potato. Then you take the potato out, just like the outer layer of the potato got the tam of everything else in the cholent, the inner layer of the potato also got the tam. It pervades the whole thing. However, when it comes to maliyah rotam, then it's only nivla in the outer layer. Okay, if you're Sephardi, you can take that at face value. If you're Ashkenazi, we'll just view that as theoretical, but not something you should rely on the Maisa. But that's, it's only nivla in the outer layer. And that's what Chazal meant. Kavosh is like mevushal, that if there's something treif, the treif taste goes through the whole thing. Maliach is like roteach, that if there's something treif, it treifs up the outer layer of wherever it touches, but not the whole thing. Again, we're not speaking halacha lemaisa yet, we're speaking theoretical din of the Gemara, before we add chumras, in the Middle Ages. That's the Gemara. So now, Maliach Roteach, so what do we see from here? That Maliach should, if you salt, let's say you salt kosher with treif, this is not an uncommon thing that might happen in the old days, right? They would, even nowadays, I don't know, but I don't know. They would usually, when did this come up, when they usually, doesn't have to be, you could salt anything anytime, but where it most commonly come up is when you salted meat to kosher it, right? So if you accidentally salted treif meat with kosher meat, which was not a crazy occurrence, because it could very well be that you'll put a lot of pieces of meat salting together, and then you'll discover that one of them was treif. Right? Like, for example, you put a lot of chicken salting together, and you chop off the heads and put all the chicken salting together, and then you notice, I mean, heads is unlikely in chickens, that one of the heads has a treifa. Or, you know, you cut out the innards, you cut out the hearts, and the innards and the lungs and everything, and salt them all together. You notice one of the lungs has a hole in it. So one of the chickens is treif, so what does it treif up? It treifs up whatever's touching next to it. Because maliach roteach. Now, there is a famous hakira, which is pretty mefurish in the Torah Sabayis, seems to be machlokas between the Rashba and the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah is pretty clear in the Bedek Habayis. The Rashba is pretty clear in the Tshuva, and pretty clear in the Mishver Sabayis. Clearer in the Shuvah, as to what we mean by Maliach Keroteach. So the Ra'ah says, Maliach Keroteach, this is the old Kech Hakira. What's the Kech Hakira?
Is it Dafka or
not? Right, is it the same thing, or does it just end up with a similar result? Right, so the Ra'ah says, Maliach Keroteach means when you salt something, it gets hot. When you salt something, it does get hot, right? Chemical reactions can make things get hotter, right? We know that from what Perek and Shas? How do we know? What Perek and Shas teaches us that salt makes things hotter? Bametonin, right? Hatzmana, right? Dover Mosin Hevel, Dover Shein Mosin Hevel, right? Some chemicals and reactions, Mosin Hevel, some chemicals reactions, not Mosin Hevel, right? Anyone nowadays want to find a chemical reaction that adds heat without a fire? Just go to composting. Right, when they compost, so the decay of the organic matter produces a lot of heat and gets very hot. Okay, that has nothing to do with salt. Salt is a different process. But salt also makes things hot when you salt them. So therefore, says the Ra'ah, that Maliach is mamish keroteach. It's hot because salt makes it hot.
Is it really hot, you know, hot enough? I mean, maybe if we examine it, it could be that it gets hotter, but it's not going to be
okay.
That, so let it...
That is a good question. I never tried it myself. I would tend to agree with your hashara. It's a pretty good assumption. That is a good question.
Through its own heat, it creates the same cooking process.
Right. Right, but in the end, that makes it just simpler.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I hear the time. The Rashba says a little differently. The Rashba says no. It's not because salting makes it hot. It may or may not, but that's not relevant. It doesn't make it terribly hot. It's good in the Harifa Shabo, because the strong, sharp taste of the salt has an equivalent effect to heat. So there's this Hakira of the Rashba, and the Ra'ah is that the Ra'ah says Chamimus, and the Rashba says charifas. The nafgamina, the clear nafgamina, which is that they themselves discuss, which I think is quoted in the Beis Yosef here, if I'm not mistaken, he doesn't analyze the lovelace, but he quotes the machlokas, is how deep of a layer does an aser? So now, here we need some background. Roteach asers how deep of a layer. So this is a machlokas, but almost everyone agrees how deep of a layer does tzli, roteach what we call tzli, aser? A kedei netila. Kedei netila, we don't have that right here in the Siman Tzadi Aleph of the Mechaber. We'd have to wait till we got to, I don't know, maybe it's hiding someplace in the rest of us, I'm not sure. But certainly when we get to the halachas, the main halachas of Tzli, later on in Siman Kuf Hey, we'll see that, we pass them clearly. It answers kedei netila. Kedei netila is a lot more than kedei klipa. Kedei klipa means the tiniest layer. Kedei netila means, like, enough to be worth taking off. It means a ke'etzva, a thumb's width. That's a lot in food. As a matter of fact, a lot of our foods are only that wide in the first place, depending on how big of a piece of food you're starting with. So, the question is, how much does melicha aser? So there are ases, it's quoted in Beis Yosef right here, it's oser, kidei netila. And the Rashba says, and most other Rishonim, it's oser, kidei klipa. So, the Achronim saying, maybe this is l'shitasam, Alex's caveat notwithstanding. The Ra'ahu thinks that Maliach is mamish groteach, it's really the same principle, says they both have to aser the same amount, kidei netila. The Rashba says, no, it's just a slight similarity. It's slightly similar to groteach. Therefore, it's similar. They both aser part, but not all. But they don't have to aser the same part. One aser is kedei klipa, and one aser is kedei netila. The how do we paskin? Well, it's going to take us a while to get there, but eventually we will see in this sif in the Mechaber that we paskin like the Rashba, and those who try to read the Rashba that it only asers kedei klipa. This is how we paskin. Okay, there are other machlokos that we find either here or in Siman Kuf Hey regarding melicha. sorry. Which you could see is totally on this chakira. The problem is it's lavdavka, and I don't think the shitos necessarily work out in a way that illustrates it so nicely. So I won't at all commit myself to these. But for example, the Sia Machlokis and the Machaber and the Shach here, do we say Tata Gavar by melicha? So you might imagine that, of course, there were all he says the exact same principle. We should say Tata Gavar, same principle as he. According to the Rashba, says it's just a similarity, then just to say Tata Gavar by he, why should we say Tata Gavar by melicha? It's similar, but it's not the same principle. Or another example that we'll see in Siman Kuf Hey, the Gemara says, and we'll need to keep this in mind for a few reasons, that, I apologize, the Gemara says that when you have fatty things in Roteach, then it spreads through the tongue spreads through the whole piece. It asers the whole piece. Because fatty things spread. So what about fatty things in salty? Do they also spread through the whole piece or not? You would think, according to the Uz approach, it should be equivalent. It should also spread through the whole piece. According to the Rashi's approach, where it's just similar, maybe it should not spread through the whole piece. Okay, these are all, theoretically, these could be enough for me to do the Chakira. I'm not promising you that they all work out and this clearly, so that's why I'm not going to put them on the board. But at the very least, you know, certainly as a way of thinking about it that then might be subject to revision, that would be the way you would think about it. Now, let's get back to, now that we just have a little bit of a introduction to the concept, let's get into the nitty-gritty. The Gemara says that melicha only counts. What does melicha mean? What does that mean? That if my wife serves me chulit, I add salt. So that's meliach kiroteach. Forget me adding salt. When I cook chicken soup, so I put in salt. Is that meliach kiroteach? What does the Gemara say? What's the gedder of meliach kiroteach? How meluach does it have to be? Has to be eino necho machmas milcho. Right, that's the Gemara's code words, that's the key. Eino nachal machmas milcho. Right, so salted as to be inedible.
That together.
And here we start with a machlokis rishonim, and what I'm going to do in Sepeh is first I'll read the machabers. That'll be easier. A machlokis rishonim, what eino nachal machmas milcho means. There are two basic shitas. What are the two basic interpretations of eino nachal machmas milcho? You can't eat it because it's so salty. Okay? How is there room for two interpretations?
If you wash up the salt, you can eat it.
Meaning, you can't eat it with the salt. Right? That's one shot. You can't eat it with the salt. But you can eat it if you brushed off the salt or rinsed off the salt. Or what's the other interpretation?
You can't eat it when the salt is on there and even...
You can't eat it even without the salt, because it has become so salted inside that it's inedible until you do what? What would you have to do to make it edible? You'd have to soak it. So that's the tup shatim. The salting, remember, salting meant two things in those days. You would salt things to kasher them. We still do that nowadays, I believe. Right? You could salt things to kasher them. And then it's not edible with the salt. If you ever go to a factory and see them kashering, you can't just take a piece from the assembly line and eat it with the salt. It's gross. Too much salt. Right? But if you took it and brushed off the salt, then it would be okay. That's one possibility. Or they would salt things to preserve them, right, as a preservative. So they salted it so much that you can't eat it even if you don't see any salt on it. And you can't eat it until you soak it to make it edible. This is the famous machlokas between who and who?
Rashi
and Rabbeinu Tam. Right, so the Tosfos quotes were all the Rishonim hold like Rabbeinu Tam. Tosfos quotes a Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael. I don't know if I think it's the only time I remember him. What?
Rashi's the first.
Okay, let me erase the board. So, Eino Nechol Machmas Milcho. Eino Nechol Machmas Milcho. So, Rashi says it means even... if you brush off the salt, you can't eat it unless you soak it. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it means that you can't eat it with the salt on it. But if you brushed or rinsed off the salt, then it would be perfectly fine. The code word for Rabbeinu Tam is, right, this is called Ke'ein Malicha Likdera. What does Likdera mean? Yeah, correct. Why? Because Kedera means a pot. If I shecht an animal and I want to broil it, do I have to kasher it?
No.
I don't have to kasher it if I want to broil it. But if I want to cook it, then I do have to kasher it. So, ke'ein meliach likdeira means the way I kasher it. Like halacha kashering, they do nowadays, that you're, you know, I like to say the difference of generation is that my grandmother kashered her meat after she bought it from the butcher. My mother never kashered meat, but when she went to high school, they taught her how to kasher meat. And my wife didn't even learn in high school how to kasher meat. By that time, it was already not even a havamina. Right, but once upon a time, you know, our grandmothers might have known how to kasher meat. I remember when I was a little kid. My grandmother had, she'd already kimat stopped eating meat for many, many years, just for, you know, whatever, health reasons or whatever. But in her counter, in her kitchen, she had a big box of kosher salt. Now, I remember as a little kid, I would go into my grandmother's house and she had a big box of kosher salt. And I always wondered, what was kosher salt? Because I never heard of tripe salt. I thought all salt was kosher. So it wasn't until I was much older that I realized that kosher salt doesn't mean the salt is kosher. Kosher salt means it's salt that you use for kashering meat. Because our regular salt is very fine particles, and you're not, without chila, allowed to use that for kashering. For kashering, you need salt in big particles. And therefore, they would sell in the old days kosher salt in the supermarket, which just meant big grains of salt that were not ground as finely that you could use for kashering. Okay, so eventually the mystery was solved. This is kashering. However, Rashi's talking about you can't eat it even without the salt. What kind of salting is that? This is lehatznia. Right, ke'en malicha lehatznia, to store it. Right, so it's not so clear. Tosfos said, we'll live in the Torah. The Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael in the Tosfos says, it's like the tanning process, like you're going to take it on a road. So Tosfos makes it sound like he's saying the same thing as Rashi. They're both saying you're taking it for a long time. The Torah sounds like one might be a little stronger than the other, but it's basically the same shita. So here is Rashi. We would add to him Rav Yaakov Yisrael.
The Avmalacha.
He compares the Avmalacha of... He gets it from the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about whether there's a malacha of salting. Salting is tanning, part of the tanning process. Does that apply to foods? And they discuss that maybe it's different if you're salting foods normally or to take them on a road to make them hard as a rock. And all the Rishonim agreed to Rabbeinu Tam. Almost everyone agreed to Rabbeinu Tam. So, let's see how the Mechaber paskins. Read the Mechaber. Meliach sheni yochol le'yochol machz milcho. Something that's so salty that you can't eat it because of the salt. Okay, that's the Gemara. So if we haven't told them yet. Dahainu, which means ke'in meliach shemochol le'kdeira. He passed like Rabbeinu Tam, which makes sense. That's Rav Rishonim, which is the Chumra, right? Rabbeinu Tam is more machmir. According to Rashi, it's rare cases to have meliach groteach. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's ma'isa b'chayom. Every time you shecht an animal, you have meliach groteach. Right? So he says, like Rabbeinu Tam, that it's like you kasher meat to cook it. V'shakdei melicha likdeira. If it sat in the salt long enough, meaning not right away, but if it sat in the salt long enough that it's kashered, anyone know how long it has to sit in the salt in order to be kashered?
18 minutes.
18 minutes, right? The din is, if it sits in the salt 18 minutes, it is kashered. So basically, if it sat in the salt for 18 minutes, a meal, kol zman shelo idicho, until you rinse off the salt, mikri inu nechal machos milcho. Okay, so we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, which makes sense, because that's the majority opinion. And it's l'chomer. Continuing the Mechaber, umaliach yimaliach d'boilo l'orcha. However, he also passes like Rashi. What do you need to also pass like Rashi? If maliach l'kedeir is groteach, then kol shekein maliach l'orcha, orcha means to go on the road. So the answer is, we need to pass like Rashi. It teaches hafilo achshei dicho, even after you rinsed off the salt, havi einu necho machos milcho, it's still called einu necho machos milcho. So he paskins like both. Like Rabbeinu Tam, that even a medium level of salting is called einu necho machos milcho, but like Rashi, that if you salt so much, then it's more chaber. Because even after you rinse it, right, nafkamina is, even after rinsing, when you go to the factory and there's kasher meat, after you rinse it, it's not salty anymore. But when you preserve meat, even after you rinse it, it's considered salty until you soak it. That's what he says, called zvashal shor b'mayim, until you soak it in water to really fix it. Dino kroteach, it's considered kroteach, lesser kedei klipa, and an aser is kedei klipa. V'ein chilek yad v'melech elyon v'tof el tachton, there's no difference whether the melech is not... Okay, you know what, let's stop here and go back to the Ramah. Okay, let's go back to the Ramah. Says, yeah.
So, could you explain how the Shemot passes like Rashi?
Then he passes like Rashi. Because he passes even if it's just salted like kashering. By the way, what does it mean salted like kashering? How salted is that? So if you've never kashered, you don't know the answer. The answer meaning salted like kashering means it's covered all over with a layer of salt. That's salted like kashering, right? On all sides, all over meant on all sides. If it's covered on all surfaces with a layer of salt, that is called likdeira. As opposed to less than that, which is not considered koteach. Why do we see also pasul like Rashi? Because it'd be only pasul like Rabbeinu Tam, he would say anything that salty and up is koteach until you rinse it. But he also pasul like Rashi says if it's kedeira, it's salty until you rinse it. But if it's orcha, then it's even koteach until you soak it. That's why there's enough kamina to Rashi as well. That's why I say he's machmer both ways. Like Rabbeinu Tam's version is koteach until you rinse it. And so this is until you rinse it, until the rinsing it's salt, it's koteach. But if you salt it as much as Rashi thinks, then even after you rinse it, it's koteach until you soak it. Now we have a machlokas here. The Mechaber quoted from the Ran one interesting few words here. V'sha'a k'deim licha l'k'deira. In order to salt something, to kasher it, you have to salt it for at least 18 minutes. So, says the Mechaber, based on the Ran, it's only considered kiroteach after 18 minutes. After 18 minutes, it's kiroteach. Before 18 minutes, it's not. Meaning, one, you have to kasher meat for 18 minutes, because it takes 18 minutes till the salt really counts. Till the salt really does something. It takes 18 minutes. That's the... So here we have... within the first 18 minutes versus... After 18 minutes, says the Mechaber, within 18 minutes, it's not koteach. Right? Because until the meat would be kashered, that salt's not really doing anything yet. It's only after 18 minutes that it's koteach. Now, this is an assumption. This is the Mechaber based on the Ran. He's quoting the Ran. However, it's not so pashut. Would you have necessarily thought like this? What might you have thought? Is the reason you need to kasher for 18 minutes because the salt's not kiroteach until 18 minutes? What else might you have said?
Until it draws the blood.
That, when is it kiroteach?
Immediately.
Maybe it's kiroteach immediately. You just need 18 minutes of kiroteach in order to kasher it. That's what I would have thought. The reason you kasher meat for 18 minutes... It's koteach after a second. But you have to be martiach the meat for 18 minutes. That's what I would have thought. And that, we'll see, is what the Ramah and most Rishonim think. Says the Ramah. The Ramah says, what do you mean? Within the first 18 minutes? It is koteach. If it's koteach within 18 minutes, why do you need to kasher for so long? Because you need it to be koteach for a long time until it gets kashered. But it's koteach right away. And then he says, Adarabba, it's koteach within the first 18 minutes. Diametrical opposite of the Mechaber. But maybe after the 18 minutes, it's not koteach anymore. I mean, the opposite. The Mechaber says, it takes 18 minutes to like get going. After 18 minutes, it's really working. The Ramah says, no way, it's working right away. Maybe Adrabah, after 18 minutes, maybe it doesn't work anymore. Why not? Why should it stop working after 18 minutes?
Lost its power.
Because it lost its power. It lost its fuel, right? And it's chemically, the salt has a certain amount of power to do whatever. I'm sure some chemist would give us words for what it does. Clearly does something. Something significant that we can all see with the naked eye if we bother to look. Right? So maybe 18 minutes is when it does its job. Why is something kosher after 18 minutes? So after, you might have just said 18 minutes long enough. He says, no, because 18 minutes, that's when the salt has run its course. A salt has 18 minutes of power, so you need to use all the power to kosher your meat. After 18 minutes, maybe there's no power anymore. And that's what the Ramah discusses based on the Trumas HaDeshen. Says the Ramah and the Trumas HaDeshen, right? He says, before it is for sure koteach. That's so obvious, he doesn't even need to say anything. But what does he say? V'yesh omrim de la'achar sheshoha b'milcho shir malicho lo mikri achakrach roteach. After 18 minutes, it's not roteach anymore. To the soul used up its power. What does he quote? The Shach quotes everyone. Right, what does the Shach quote? There's a Tosfos, a Rush, and a Smag. Says, Achar Shir, we'll just put in, they call it Shir Malich, but we'll put in Shir Mil, right? Achar, or let's say better, after 18 minutes, that's a mil. Someone will tell me, there's no guarantee a mil is 18 minutes. Our minute is that a mil is 18 minutes, right? Of course, I can't prove it, theoretically. After 18 minutes, it's not Kiroteach anymore, because it used up all its fuel. It only lasts so long. However, the Shach points out, and here he's just quoting the Truma Sedeshin, that the Sefer HaTruma and Shari Dura and Or Zarua and the Smag, the Sefer HaTruma, the Shari Dura, the Or Zarua, and the Smag, said, nope, after 18 minutes, it is still Kiroteach. It never uses up its power. I know, the Shach points that out. So, exactly, the Shach is going to make a big deal of that. Correct, very good. The Truma Sadeshin chooses not to make a big deal of that. He chooses not to be bothered by that. Okay, it's not clear why. It's not clear why. Because, okay, I cheated. The Truma Sadeshin doesn't point out the Smogs on both sides. Right? So says the Truma Sadeshin and the Ramah, it's a machlokas. Within 18 minutes, for sure it's Kiroteach. Don't give me this crazy mechaber Ram. The Ram's das yachid, no chance. Within 18 minutes, it's Kiroteach. That's when it does its work. It is 18 minutes of good work, powerful work to do. After 18 minutes, we're not sure. Is your meat kashered after 18 minutes? Because the soul still has energy. But it just did a good enough job. Or no, your meat's kashered after 18 minutes, the soul used up all its energy. And that's how Chazal would go away, 18 minutes, when the soul uses up all its energy. So we're not sure. Maybe the salt uses up its energy, that's why your meat's kashered. Or maybe the salt has energy for 2 hours. But Chazal said 18 minutes is enough. So, therefore, one second, what is the Truma Sedeshin Paskin? This is a machlokes. And therefore, what does he say? Let us just read on. Ulutzorch gadol go mehefzim ruba b'chu lutzorch sudas mitzvah yishlis b'chu makilim b'vlav hachi ein lahak el klal. And what is the psak of the Ramah? Machlokes ve yesh lahak el rak behefzim ruba v'sudas mitzvah. That was actually the case the Truma Sedeshin was talking about, so it worked out very nicely. It was a case of hefzim ruba and sudas mitzvah. I think it was a wrist, maybe, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe it was a wedding, I forget. What did he say here? Alright, it says someplace. it was a bris, thank you. And it was half of Ruba, it was a lot of money. So he's Makel, but normally you should be Machmir. So he says to Machlokes Haka. He does not, the Shach calls him the task for not noticing that happened to be Machlokes and the Smogs on both sides. Right? The Smogs have a split personality. But he says to Machlokes, we're not sure who's right, we're not sure who's wrong, so you can be Makel if you're really, really, really stuck. But otherwise, be Machmir. Says the Shach. The Shach says a different shot in the Machlokas Rishonim. Says the Truma Sadeshin and the Ramah. This is Manda Omar, who says Mutter. And this is the Manda Omar Usser. It's a Machlokas. Says the Shach, no, it's not a Machlokas. Shach says it's not a machlokas. They're talking about two different cases. He went down a little early. Mechaber might have to make this distinction. He says they're talking about two different cases. He says, you want to know if the salt used up all its fuel in 18 minutes or not? Well, that might depend what it's been doing for 18 minutes, right? Do I use up all my fuel in 18 minutes? Depends what I'm doing. If I'm standing here talking about Shulchan Aruch, then I clearly do not use up all my fuel in 18 minutes. If I would be on the treadmill, then I wouldn't use up my fuel in 18 minutes. It all depends how hard I'm working. Says the same thing. Okay, we shouldn't be so anthropomorphic. But the same thing for the salt. I mean, clearly, I'll be physics and chemistry. The more work you're doing, the more you use up your fuel, even if you're just a chemical. Right? There's a certain amount of potential energy, whatever, however it works out, I don't know. Says the Shach, it depends. They weren't talking about the same case. They were talking about after 18 minutes of kashering. Tolsos in the rush of the first line, this makes Aaron feel better. The smog, this is the Shach's right. The smog can't argue on himself. So it must be he's talking about two different cases. After 18 minutes of kashering, then it used up its fuel. But this is talking about after 18 minutes of salting stam. Kashering is harder work than stam salting something. Now, you could disagree with that. You could say, no, I think that LP physics, chemistry, what's the difference if you're kashering the blood out of something or if you're salting something else and getting some juice out? But the Shach thinks that it depends. When you're kashering the blood out of something, that's a really big accomplishment that uses up lots of energy. After 18 minutes, the fuel is used up. What did the Ursa Ruin everyone else talked about? No, they were talking about when you just stop salting something. Like in our case, you're stop salting meat and milk and whatever. It doesn't mean kashering in our case. It was already koshered. It's like that meat and milk in your kitchen that was already koshered. It just means you're stop salting something. So when you're stop salting something, then the end of fuel doesn't get used up in 18 minutes. When you're salting something to get out the blood, it uses up the fuel in 18 minutes. Therefore, Paskin's the Shach. That within 18 minutes, it's kiroteach, the ein lahakel klap. There's no room to be makel at all. But after 18 minutes, then he paskins based on his pshat. He says it is mutter, meaning not kiroteach, if it kashered out the blood. If it kashered out the dam for 18 minutes, that's hard work. Then it used up all its fuel, then it's mutter. But then he added, you know what? I also want to keep the chumrah of the Rambah. So he added, it's mutter if it kashered out the dam, only mutter, only if it kashered out the dam, and only for hefsid meruba v'sudas mitzvah. So what does he say in the end? It sounds like he's being more macher and more mikul than the Rambam. The Rambam would say machlokas. You can be macher for hefsid meruba and sudas mitzvah, mikul for that, and macher otherwise. And the Shach says, no, if it kashered out blood for 18 minutes, it's totally mutter, not roteach. If it just stam salt for 18 minutes, totally usher. And then the last minute he says, you know what? I'm not going to be more machmer and more makel than the Ramah. I'll just be more machmer than the Ramah. Right? So he says, I'll take the Ramah's chumra also. Because, you know, Tichrum said that, shink, that I didn't be machmer. So therefore he says in the end that it's only mutter if A, according to his pshat, because it was working to get out blood for 18 minutes, and also you're going to say the Ramah, and it's, and Tichrum said that, it's Sudas Mitzvah and Hefsim Ruba. So therefore only in very limited circumstances can you be makel. So there's halacha lemaisa is, the Achronim assume like the Shach here. Halacha l'maaseh is basically that when something is salted, whether within 18 minutes or after 18 minutes, it's still kiroteach, with very, very limited exceptions.
Rabbi Silverman mentioned to Aaron and I that one of the nafkaminas that comes out from this is how we treat the blood that's left after 18 minutes of pressuring, or rather the red stuff that's left after 18 minutes of pressuring. Because we're not sure whether we consider it to be blood that's mutter, or whether we consider it to not be blood, it's just red stuff that's left over. So I was wondering if that ties into this this machlokas here between.
I'm not convinced that it does. If you have a specific reason why you think it does, you can tell me later. But I would think not. I would think not. Okay, now that's the first part of the Ramah. Continuing then, in the Ramah adds a few chumras. Afilu, he says, lo nimlach abas v'shnei tzadav rak mitzad echad, kos nimlach m'lich shen enech ha'mach m'lich ha'mech shav roteach. The big machlokas, when you salt meat for kashering, Is it enough to salt the one side, the top, or do you have to salt on all sides? We pass it on all sides. Says Ramah, even though for kashering you need to do both sides, inside and outside, or top and bottom, but if you did only one side, we'll be machmir that that's considered kiroteach. So he says, even if you only salted one side, if you salted a total layer of salt on one side, that's considered kiroteach. But anything which is less salted than that is considered cold. Even on both sides. I mean, even on both sides, if you didn't put a full layer of salt, that's considered cold because that's nechol machmas milcho. V'yesh omrim dech enan ein bekiyim b'davar. This is a classic Ramah Chumra. Sfardim you never see with this, right? But Ramah in many places in Shas says, you know what? I'm going to go against the Gemara. How can I go against the Gemara? Obviously, theoretically, you can't go against the Gemara. But in the days of Gemara, they were Bekian. They knew exactly where to draw the line. Nowadays, we lost our Masora. We're not Bekian. We don't know exactly where to draw the line anymore. Therefore, we have to be more machmir in case we make a mistake because we don't know where to draw the line. So Chazal said only, well, accordingly, the Rishonim said, only if it's, according to the Meir Tam, Melicha L'Kedera, that's considered Einu Nachum Achlus Milcho. But some people say that nowadays we're not a Bucky. Therefore, v'yishlon l'chashav yilom l'chas tzli kiroteach. The Tov l'hachver makom shein hefsin meruba says the Ramah that nowadays, where does he get this from? Prince says aruch klal yud. What is the aruch? We've met him a few times. The aruch is the same as what he calls the aruch, but everyone calls the isser heter. Aruch and isser heter are the same book. It was just called the aruch because it was aruch with an aleph. It was a longer book than some of its competitors. Right? This is the Isser HaHeter, written by Rabbeinu Yonah, even though in the old edition says Rabbeinu Yonah Migirundi, the author of Shari Tshuva, that's just a mistake of some printer in Europe who didn't know anything. A different Rabbeinu Yonah. By, you know, a good 200 years and across an entire continent. This is Rabbeinu Yonah, the student of the Tshuva Sedeshin, who was right, the generation right before the Ramah. This is Rabbeinu Yonah, who lived in Germany at the very end of the Torah in Germany, right before the days of the Ramah, who was a student of the Tshuva Sedeshin. That's what it says in all the newer editions. When they got more historical. What?
He's considered Rishon, though?
Borderline, you know. I guess if push comes to shove, he has to be Rishon, right? He's before the Mechaber and the Ramah. And he wrote the book that was most influential on the Ramah. Why? Because it was the Halacha L'Maisa book in Ashkenaz of Isser V'Heter, right? Like Kashrus, etc. That was everyone passed from in the days of the Ramah, so that's why he's very influential. So that's who quotes it from here, from the Aruch. So therefore he says, we Ashkenazim, we're not experts in knowing exactly where to draw the line, therefore we're more machmir. Even if it's only Malich L'Tzli, what is Malich L'Tzli? This is also an Ashkenazic. The Ashkenazim and Vachumra, that remember how we said if you broil meat, you don't have to salt it? Mm-hmm. Right? Now, what did our grandmothers all boil instead of salt? Broil instead of salting? No one ever is. The liver, right? You can't salt the liver, you can only broil it. So even after we stopped salting meat at home, we kept broiling the livers at home. By now, it could be, at least in America, just like the meat comes already salted, the livers come already broiled. Pretty sure in America, at least, the livers come already broiled. I don't know about Israel. Even in Israel, they come already broiled. Now, they don't trust anyone to do anything nowadays in Israel.
You could get regular.
In Israel, nowadays, everything has to be done in a factory, right? I would never eat in someone's house if they picked fruits and took trumas or maishas themselves. It has to be in a factory with their certificates. Otherwise, it's not really kosher. That's the modern hashkafa on life. if you ask your grandmother or whoever goes back and kosher the livers at home, that's why we have to put a wall here. They Ashkenazim at least, even when you broil, you have to salt it a little. That's called malicha l'tzli. So Sfardim assume that no, only for taste most people salt a little when they broil meat because it makes it taste good. Ashkenazim assume no, it's a halacha that even though you don't have to salt it fully when you broil meat, you have to salt it a little. A little meaning like more than just you salt regular food, like a partial layer of salt. And that's called malicha litzli. Malicha l'sli is more than regular seasoning of food, but less than kashering. So the Ashkenazim are machir, even malicha l'sli, since we're not experts in how to draw the line, we're machir even on malicha l'sli, unless there's a hefsim merubah. Usually when we're not bucky in something, we really aren't bucky. It's just like a chumra, that maybe we're not sure. So there's a hefsim merubah we usually make on these things, but if it's not a mukim hefsim merubah, we're machir even on malicha l'sli. Again, that doesn't mean regular salting your food for taste. It means more than that.
Boy, so the idea, if you knew how to roast it properly, then there's no shash, all the blood came out.
No, Ashkenazim have a chumra l'chachila that maybe the blood only comes out with roasting if you salt it.
No, I'm saying theoretically. I'm saying
I mixed two things.
Right?
The chumra in blood, in dam, that Ashkenazim have to salt it when you broil it, is even if you are an expert. It's just a chumra that maybe that's the halacha.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, theoretically, there were people who were Bakiyan who didn't have to do that once upon a time, right?
No, Ashkenazim are choshesh that maybe they always salted their meat a little when they broiled it.
Oh, but so then it's not an issue with Bakiyan.
No, that's not. The idea that you have to salt your meat a little when you broil it is a din that Ashkenazim are machber for lechachila.
What's the source of that?
What's the source of that is a Rashi sounds like that.
So the idea would be then, okay, so I guess...
That broiling needs help of a little salt in order to do its job.
I mean, in other words, this, according to this opinion, broiling doesn't really suffice.
Correct. Ashkenaz for l'chachila makbar for that opinion.
Regular salting would work, but if you do broiling, it needs a little bit of salt.
Exactly.
Or something?
Exactly.
Okay.
Ashkenazim are, what?
I mean, for liver?
No, for everything.
Oh.
Meaning, not if it's sold in the factory, you broil it. Obviously, only if you broil it fresh. We used to do that in my house. I had a Talmud once who used to shecht for me on the spot. We just buy from the local farmers. So we either salted it or broiled it. You can broil it, but you still have to salt it partially. now, the lack of the kiyas is going back to our simon. What if you only did this amount of salting like when you broil it, but you didn't broil it? You just put on half salt, half layer of salt, right? Malicha l'tzli. Ashkenazim or machmir, since we're not an expert, maybe that's considered eino nechol machlo v'ilcho. That's a different Sephardim would say, until it's a complete layer of salt, that's still edible. That's not roteach. Ashkenazim would say, we're not experts. Anytime it has a partial layer of salt, we'd be machmir, not with a few sprinkles. There's a partial layer of salt, we're machmir to say, maybe that's roteach, because we don't know where to draw the line, and what's nechol machlo v'ilcho, what's eino nechol machlo v'ilcho.
But I thought that the place where the Rama was saying that we weren't clear was with the inyanim of how much salt you need to roast things and things like that.
No. We know how much salt you put on when you roast, we know how much salt you put on when you kasher. What we're not clear is what's called eino nechol machlo v'ilcho.
But I thought that we said that eino nechol machlo v'ilcho is ke'en melicha l'kedira.
Yes. So what he means is that, okay, we're not sure what's ke'en melicha l'kedira. Maybe kain malicha l'kedeira merely means a little less salt than we think. Therefore, whenever we have malicha l'tzli, we say that might really be malicha l'kedeira. That's the chumra of Ashkenazim. So let's, okay, good. Thank you. Let's put this on the board. What if you have maliach kain tzli? L'tzli. Right? So, Sfardim say this is less than likdeira, right? So, it's considered nechal machmas milcho. And therefore, it's not kiroteach. What do the Ashkenazim say? Ashkenazim say that maybe it's really malicha l'kedeira. Maybe, even though it doesn't look like malicha l'kedeira, maybe it's really what the Rishonim call malicha l'kedeira. Maybe this is really within the realm of malicha l'kedeira. Again, we wouldn't be so mechan that you wouldn't get a hechsher in your factory if you did this, but maybe really this malicha is good enough l'kedeira, because we're not an expert. How do we know where to draw the line? Just because in a factory we have high standards, factory we say you need tons of salt to kasher it if you want a hashgacha for your factory. Fine, but maybe we're not such experts. Maybe even less salt is really good enough for Kedera. Say for maybe it's really milchil in Kedera, and therefore we say maybe it's eino ne'echol machmas milcho, because we're not experts. And therefore we say maybe it's kiroteach, and therefore if it touches cheese, it'll aser it. So, because we're not sure. Just because we call this milchil tzli, who says we're right? Maybe it's really milchil in Kedera, we just call it milchil tzli, because we don't know where to draw the line. And that's why Shnaz and Ramach were, unless there's a Hefsin Ruva. Okay. Continuing in the Mechaber then. Umliach ke'ein, umliach debay le'orcha fila achshay dicho ave'in enach ha'machaz milcho. B'chol zman shlo shro b'mayim, dino kiroteach lesser k'day klipa. That we read. Ve'ein chilek be'maliach elyon v'tavol tachton. Says the Mechaber, there's no difference between ilah and tatava. There's no rule tatah governed by malicha. Tatah governs by heat. By malicha, there's no ilah, there's no tatah, it's all the same. Meaning alpilundus that would match the alpilundus that would match the Rashva. Okay, this the reason why I'm hesitant about it is because the Rashva sheet does the opposite. Meaning that's why I say it's not so pasha. Not that this Hakiva is wrong, but that the nafkaminas aren't mokrach. After all, who says Tatani law is a function of heat? Maybe Tatani law is a function of blios. So yesh lodun. That's why I said it's not so pasha. If you really want to get into the lumdus, may not stand with Eliyahu has something about this in a sefer. Does he have a sefer in his Rebbe Hatter? He might not. Okay, so it's in the Sabyad. The lumdus is not so pashut, because the Rashba doesn't work. Okay, we can iron that later. So he says, "Einkel meliach Eliyahu tov, tachton meliach tachton betafel Eliyahu laolam up." Then what's the rule? Meaning, doesn't matter if one, meaning, if the meat and cheese are both salted, you don't need to discuss this. If they're both unsalted, you don't need to discuss it. When do you discuss the tatah gavar? When one is salted and one isn't. So says the Mechaber, if one is salted and one isn't, don't go by tatah, don't say tatah gavar. What do you say, right? We need some rule. What's the rule instead? So he says, this is a different rule. This is Mefurish Gemara. The Gemara says if Tomei hears about salting kosher fish with treif fish by accident, you don't have to salt fish in order to remove the blood. There's no halacha like that. Don't worry. You go to the fish store. The guy knocks the fish with a hammer and sells it to you. He hasn't done anything wrong. It doesn't require melicha halachically. But they would always salt fish in those days for for non-halachic reasons. So the whole thing, what if accidentally you have kosher fish touches tray fish when you're salting? So it says, if tar is meliach and tamei tafel, then it's okay. If the kosher is salted and the tray is unsalted, you're okay. But tamei meliach and tar, if the tray is salted and the kosher is unsalted, then you're in trouble. What does that mean? That means is that the salted thing gives its time to the unsalted thing. But the unsalted thing doesn't give a time to the salted thing. Which actually makes sense. Because if you think about it, what happens when you salt things? It brings the juices out, right? So the juices leave the salting thing and then go into the unsalted thing. They don't leave the unsalted thing. Why would the juice come out of the unsalted thing? So that's what the Mechaber Paskins. Li'olam. Again, Hamaliach Mavliyot Tafel. The salted thing gives its taste to the unsalted. The animal lame then, but the salted thing doesn't get taste from the unsalting. It goes in one direction. Helkach, therefore, Basar Gvina Maluch Vajag Bezet. If meat and cheese are both salting and they touch each other, Tzarch Lichlof Shneamach Niyasam. Where they touch, you have to cut off the layer of both of them. They're both Asar Kedei Klipa. If they're both salty. Echme Maluch Vajag Tafel. If one is salted and the other is unsalted, Hamaluch Vajag Bradach. The salted one just rinsed off. It didn't absorb anything. Vatafel Tzarch Klipa. But the Tafel one, the unsalted one, is Asar Kedei Klipa because it got taste from the salted one. That is the principle. Now, the Shach already points out, by the way, here, that in terms of Tata and Ilah, this Ram Mechaber is, he's not lying to you, Chas V'Shalom, but he's misleading. The Mechaber says Tata Gavar and Ilah Gavar does not apply to Malicha, that's not his real Shita. What he really means is, until I introduce more concepts, I can't explain the relevance of Tata'a Gavar to Malicha, so right now I'm going to say it doesn't apply. What does that mean? Because until now, a very simple reason why he said it didn't apply. Until now he said, how deep does Malicha Aser?
Yeah.
Kedei Klipa. So is there any point discussing Tata Gavar if it only goes Kedei Klipa anyway? What's the point of the Tata Gavar? If the bottom is hot, then it's Usser. If the top is hot, it's only Usser Kedei Klipa. If you insult me, well, if the bottom is hot, it's Usser Kedei Klipa. But if the top one's hot and the bottom's cold, it's only Usser Kedei Klipa. So, like, there's no point discussing it. There's no point discussing Tata Gavar when you're only starting off with an Usser Kedei Klipa in the first place. It's only worth discussing Tata Gavar when you're starting with a deep Isser. Then you say, if the bottom one is hot, the Isser goes all the way deep. If the top one is hot and the bottom one's cold, it only goes Kedei Klipa. Malicha only goes Kedei Klipa anyway. And therefore, there's no difference. That's only law. Either way, it goes Kedei Klipa. You might, but okay. Theoretically, but that's not the way the Rishonim go. Now, what would happen if we came up with cases where Malicha penetrated into the whole piece? Then we'd want to know, well, is there a difference whether the bottom one's salted or the top one's salted? That will be discussed in the Siman Kof. Hey, we'll see actually the Machaber Shita is more complicated than it looks from here. So that's the Shach already pointed out, and some cutting something here. Some cutting Yud Beis, that both in Siman Ayin and Siman Kof, hey, the Machaber actually postens that Tata Gavar does apply to Malicha. So therefore, we have to keep in mind that when we get there, it'll be more complicated. But for now, let's stick with what the Mechaber told us. What did the Mechaber tell us? That it only goes one way. Right? The tam goes, if the arrow is the tam, the blia, infecting something, then he says, very poshut rule, if here is meluach, and here is tafel, the taste goes only from the meluach to the tafel. It doesn't go from the tafel to the meluach. So the meluach can infect the tafel. The tafel cannot infect the meluach. Okay, reasonable enough. Yeah.
It's a little off topic. Is that okay? If you have two partial factors, like kibuach, that's nifsak, and partial meluach, they add up.
That is an excellent question. I understand the question. The answer is, I'm not sure. They might. Okay, we'll get to that in Simen Kohen. The answer is they might. What? Or speed me up. The answer is they probably do add up. Because there's the Shach, I think, there points out that if something is partially hot, and charif, then those combine. So partially salty might be like charif, so that might be good enough. Okay, adds the Rambah here. V'yesh omrim, d'chol malicha anu misharim b'shishim. V'ayin lecham tzim kofei ketanogin. Some people say, what does it mean misharim b'shishim? Misharim b'shishim means that malicha doesn't only go into the kedei klipa. The tam goes through the whole thing. Why do they call that misharim b'shishim? Because according to the Mechaber, if, you know, let's say meat touches cheese salting, it only asers the outer klipa. But the Ramah says, no, yesh omrim, that it asers the entire piece of cheese and the entire piece of meat. The vliya goes all the way through, just like in Bishul. If so, then how do we know what to do? Well, the answer is, if the meat is more than a 60th of the cheese, the vliya goes all the way through the cheese and asers it. If it's less than a 60th of the cheese, then it goes all the way through the cheese, but it dissipates, and it becomes mutter, because it's batel b'shishim. So that's what he means. When he says misharim b'shishim, it means it penetrates through the whole thing. Some people say it penetrates through the whole thing. And that's what Siman Kof Hei is going to talk about. Basically, what Siman Kof Hei talks about, that we haven't talked about in Siman Tzadi Aleph so much, or at all yet, is, can the tam go all the way through? And we'll come back to that in the next sif. Continuing, v'hadar Torah meluach v'tamei tafel shari haynu shatamei yavish avol mudaber tzolol neser hatahar me'achar she'inu nechmachas milcho b'leyo ha'isr she'etzlo v'shneihem asurin v'dachas Torah lach tzas avol mudaber l'gamei inu b'leyo dover lach she'etzlo. Let's just fill in these details. He says this is when he's talking about two solids. What if you're talking about a, what's his case here? His case here is when the tafel, the unsalted, is liquid. So what if you're talking about maybe this will be easier. solid. But what if you have meliach solid and tofel liquid? Like, for example, you have salted meat and milk. Right? Milk is never salted, hardly. Not that I've seen. Right? You have salted meat and milk. Then what's the din? Says this is worse. Why? Because, yeah, you would think the salt taste can only go into the unsalted. Because it emits liquid. But the unsalted is also liquid. So therefore, it can seep in to the solid. So therefore, he says, in this case, they are both usur. They both go into each other. Why? Because the meliach emits liquid, and the tuchel is a liquid. So they go into each other, and they both are treif. Then he adds, v'davka shatar lach tzas, aval muyavish legamre, eino balea, midavar, lach she'etzlo. But when is that true? If it's moist. But if it is totally dry, then this will not happen. So if it's a solid that is moist, but if you have meliach and tafel, and the tafel is liquid, and the meliach is a solid that is dry, not just solid, but dry, then there's no transfer of tam at all. And that's in accordance with the next line in the Mechaber, which says, if they're dry, salty but dry, says same thing, says what if they're both? Or solid dry, right? If that's the Mechaber's case, right? If they're both solids which are dry, then it's enough to do hadacha. And then he adds, chazim at the beginning, if they're moist solids that are not salty, they also need hadacha. The diuk is, if they're not salty and they're not moist, they're dry, unsalted solids, they don't even need hadacha, which is exactly the first shach in our siddur. That's where he got it from, if you want to go back and fill that in. What's the principle there? The principle is that salt only is only kiroteach. Salt is only kiroteach. sorry. When the salted thing is still, salt is only kiroteach when there's some, the salted thing is a little moist. That means the salt is still working. When the salted thing is totally dry, that means the salt's not working, and then it's not kiroteach.
Is there a transfer in the latter case, is there a transfer from the tafel to meliach, the tafel to liquid? Why should that make a difference with the property of the meliach?
Ah, because when it's dry, the salt is not active. That's the principle.
No, but the flavor of the tafel should go into the meliach.
Well, why? The tafel is not salted, and the meliach is as if it's not salty, because it's dry. When it's dry, the salt is not active. So there's no salt. Why should the flavor go in? Right? Because salt is not active. Meaning, it's not because, it's very dry, so nothing happens. Because the other one's a liquid. No, it's because when it's very dry, that shows the salt is not active. If the salt was active, then some juice would be coming out. So when it's very dry, that means the salt's not active.
So I have just a practical question then. So when the liquid enters the solid drop, the meliach, isn't it going through the meliach first?
When the liquid touches that,
it's the reaction's happening as it goes in.
No, when the liquid goes into that meliach, it doesn't get absorbed into that meliach because there's no active salt.
But there's salt on the meliach itself.
But that salt is not active. The way the Echonim really say it, the later Echonim down on the page, is that the salt has used up its power. After 18 minutes, it didn't use up its power, we're machmir, but when it's dry, then for sure the salt has no more power. Basically, it's as if it's not salted. That's the chiddush. You're right, it's a chiddush, but that's the chiddush. The shach just fills in one other thing, which I would mention. What does the shach fill in? The opposite of this case. What if, let's see if I remember this correctly, meliach is liquid. You have a salty liquid, you know, like salt water, and the tafel is a solid, which is, and the tafel is a solid. What about this case?
Is it solid moist
or liquid? Let's say it's moist. It doesn't matter, because dry just means the salt has no power. Here's the salt. Good. So what happens in this case? What happens in this case? Clearly, the meliach gives its taste to the tafel. That's clear, because the salt gives to the non-salted. But does the non-salted give to the salt? Normally, the non-salted doesn't give to the salt.
Why would it?
But, because maybe, once the salty liquid goes in, it gets out the taste from the solid also. After all, in this case, where there's a liquid on one side and salt on the other side, it went in both directions. So what if there's liquid and salt on one side? Salt on one side and nothing on the other side is one direction. Salt here, liquid here is both directions. What about salt and liquid and nothing? That is a machlokes Rishonim discussed in the Shach. What?
It should be any different than the third case.
Than this case?
No. Yeah.
No. Here the salt is still active. The salt still has power.
Why is it still active?
Because it's in a liquid. So the Shach quotes that this is a machlokes in the Hagos Mordechai and the Smag and the Mordechai himself, that this is the opinion of the Hagos Mordechai and the Toras Chatas of the Ramah. However, the Shach himself, Paskin like the Mordechai and the Smag, and this is the Pesach of the Shach, and so we would say that in this case it goes both ways, because when you have a liquid and salt, even if they're both on the same side, it goes both ways. Okay, at a certain point you try to figure out the svaras, I admit, is very difficult.
Maybe Shach says they go both ways?
Yes, Shach. Okay, continuing, let's just finish up this last Ramah, see if Rabbi Kefet forgot to change his clock, and he'll be late. Even though it's the wrong direction. Kol tzir mibasar shenimlach vilo nimlach rach v'sli kasar roteach. It says tzir means when you're the blood that drips out of salting meat. Ah, shalom.
It's like I have you down in the
office. Oh, no, we changed the clock. I have another hour. Just kidding.
Something's the matter with that.
Okay, we'll have to pick up Emir Tashem with this Ramah on Tuesday, Emir Tashem, and we'll pick up this Ramah and finish the Simon and start Simon Tzadi Beis Emir Tashem.